Welcome back. I'm your host, Doug Haldeman. I'm here with my co-host, Tammy Haldeman. Welcome back, Tammy.
Thanks for having me back.
Also, I want to welcome back. We have Stephen Burton from Waterproof Solutions. Welcome back, Doug.
How you doing, guys?
And Wes Vilhard from Housemaster.
Hey, Doug. Hey, Tammy. Glad to be back.
Our structural engineer and home inspector, all in one. What a great combination.
Thanks, Doug.
Very handy to have in my arsenal, I can tell you that.
So before our break, we mentioned fireplaces and chimneys. I mean, it's a fall. We're getting ready to start lighting them up again. What do we need to know to keep our house safe before that happens?
There's a lot to know about chimneys and fireplaces, Doug. It's the best thing to do is maybe start at the top and work our way down.
All right, so get on the roof to look at it, or what do we have to do here?
Well, you do. People don't think about the roofs very much, and they sure don't think about their chimneys very much. But one of the first things that you need to take a look at, usually every 6 months or after a big windstorm, make sure that your flue cap, your chimney cap, the spark arrestor is still on. That thing's very important. From Stephen's perspective, it lets all that rainwater down into the foundation of the chimney and causes a lot of problems down there. But from other practical things, it's a cap that keeps the birds and the squirrels and even raccoons and things out of your chimney. If you've ever had an animal get in your chimney, it is awful. So you don't want that. So make sure, just take a look every few months or after a storm that you've got your chimney cap on. It is important, even though it's a $50, $100 item.
Are there different styles? Because I see some that look more like hats. I see some that would stand up higher.
All different kinds of styles for the chimney caps. You can buy them at your local hardware store, or you can have them custom made, stainless steel, whatever you want.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but as you're up on the roof, if you're looking, there's a lot of other things to look at on a chimney. Look at the brickwork, especially brick chimneys. They're very problematic. They're prone to cracking and splitting and spalling. And once you have that mortar popped out of the bricks, now the water gets in, gets all the way down to the foundation, and starts causing problems for a guy like Stephen with Waterproof Solutions.
Yeah, because I can see, you know, as you're moving down the chimney, you know, the flashing around.
The flashing is really important.
I mean, that can be a major issue. And then when you do see the mortar popping out of those bricks, what's the easiest solution for that?
Just tuck pointing, and there's some waterproofing additives that you can put in the mortar that help bead that water up and shed it away. But mortar is really like sand. It wants to wick the water deep down into the brickwork, and then in the wintertime it freezes and thaws, and it pops the mortar out. It splits the brick, it spalls the brick, and lets that water get back down in the chimney again.
And, you know, tuck pointing is a bit of an art. You don't want somebody making your fireplace look like a zipper. You know how many times have you seen a zipper on somebody's house?
And exactly.
So make sure they can match sands and mortars.
Yeah, it's really good to get a professional chimney restoration company. I love Scott Studer with Studer Restorations in Kirkwood. I use him all the time. He's my go-to guy for chimney repairs.
I need to meet him. I've got plenty of work for him.
Absolutely.
And do you have the same people fix the flashing around the fireplace if it is bad?
Yeah, usually the fireplace companies take care of the whole thing top to bottom. Sometimes you'll get a roofer involved with that flashing, but again, that's another cheap thing that a homeowner can look at and fix themselves. A $5 tube of caulk, the correct kind of caulk, around those step flashings. You want to keep the top nicely caulked and sealed. Just the slightest little crack, the size of a credit card, the width of a credit card, will let a ton of water down along the face of that chimney. It rots out the roof sheathing. It rots out the roof rafters, stains the ceilings downstairs on the second floor, and can cause thousands of dollars worth of damage just because you didn't look at your chimney every few months. $5 tube of caulk.
So is that when the sleeving? I understand that when a chimney has to be re-sleeved, it could be as much as $125 a foot.
The older chimneys in the city, the brickwork and the mortar work, because of all that water coming down over 100 years, all that brickwork and mortar work has deteriorated. And if you really want to have a wood-burning fire in one of these old chimneys, you're going to have to sleeve it or line it with a stainless steel lining.
Stainless steel, yeah.
And I'm thinking the normal cost is around $1,800 to $2,000 if it's a big chimney or multiple chimneys. It can be a lot more, but that's a pretty major repair for a chimney contractor.
Do you have to do that if you're going to convert to gas?
No, you really don't have to convert to gas. That could be an easier, just a galvanized sheet metal flue that's put down in through the chimney.
Mm-hmm.
Chimney just kind of acts as a chase. But I do that all the time. Every day of the week is we'll have an old broken chimney or something. And then people want to change it to gas. You can go to a ventless gas fireplace.
Mm-hmm, right.
A set of nice gas logs is somewhere in the $500 range. And then to run some gas piping, if you've got gas in the house, is generally somewhere in the $400 to $500, $600 range, depending on the size of the house and the length of the run to the gas mains.
But see what we have gas in our home for our fireplaces, and you know I love the smell of wood burning fireplace. You can't really replace that.
And the popping.
Yeah, the popping. But I tell you what, the beauty of just turning it on.
No bugs.
And it's on.
Right? That's right. You can even have a remote control for your fireplace
have
now.
You noticed how nice and cheap they sell the wood at 7-Eleven or anything? Like $82 for four pieces of
Exactly.
Hey, your loan papers have been approved.
Well, and dragging the wood in and the mess that it creates and things like that. It's kind of nice to have gas.
Yeah, it is. And I'll tell you, that stack of wood outside your house, nicely conveniently located by your garage, full of termites.
I've got a flat screen that just has it playing. So
that's right, the fireplace channel.
I have the Yule log.
That's right, just go to the fireplace channel. That's even easier.
Wait, is gas safer?
Gas is safer. Gas appliances are very safe now. And, anytime you buy or sell real estate, you always have to have either the Cleed Gas here in St. Louis or an HVAC contractor that's certified in that to check and operate and certify all the gas appliances.
Mm-hmm. So as we move down the chimney, what's the next thing we need to contend with?
Well, once you've taken care of the roof line, now you're down to the firebox inside your living room, inside your space. And a lot of times I'll go into homes and I'll see cracked, broken fireboxes. That firebox, that fire brick, is the only thing between the fire and the wood framing of most homes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's super important. I remember, my parents have moved 18 times, so we've had several fireplaces. I remember my dad, opened the damper, all of that is all broken too, and creosote. Just he came out looking a little different.
Oh. Yes, indeed. Creosote
totally fell on his face.
And ash and all kinds of stuff pouring out of the chimney. In the older chimneys, I see parts of bricks and mortar and sand falling out. You know the inside of that chimney is in bad shape when you see that.
And if somebody burned pine.
Yep.
I had a house in Texas. We didn't get to use the fireplace much, but they had burned pine in it. And boy, we had a fire in our fireplace flue.
Yep.
I was going to ask that. What's the main cause of chimney fires?
Well, it's too much creosote. If you can see about a quarter of an inch of creosote building up where the fire is hot near your firebox, when that smoke goes up and cools off farther in the chimney, it's depositing on the cooler sides. And if you see a quarter inch at the firebox, it might be a half an inch up in the chimney. When that stuff ignites, it's extremely hot. It's extremely volatile. You can burn your house down.
Well, to cook a squirrel in about 2 minutes.
There you go.
That's the main purpose of a chimney sweep, I'm assuming.
Absolutely. It's to clear out all that creosote. And you really can't inspect a chimney, especially a brick mortar chimney, until you've cleaned all that creosote out. You can't see the joints.
It looks black.
It's all black. It's just covered straight over, coated with black creosote. That's right.
Wes, what happens when you go into a house, because I've seen it and I've never asked the question, you see smoke that's come up, like it's come bellowed up into the house.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that cause that. One of the first things is that maybe the person lighting the fire got a little ambitious and put too much wood and too much paper, and flames are licking over the top of the mantle. That's not a good thing.
Yeah.
But other times, maybe it's a very small fire that they started, and it's not hot enough to get a draft going. Maybe the wind is blowing down the chimney and it's actually pushed. Dampers closed. That's a smart one. But it'll actually blow
damper
the smoke.
Them.
Yeah, that's right.
Those dampers.
But a quick solution to that, I've done that in my own fireplaces. I didn't have the fire hot enough, quick enough, and the smoke starts curling back in. Go open a window or a door fast and get that draft going up the chimney.
Let the heat go up.
Let the heat go up, exactly. So there's a lot of other things, especially when you're cleaning. We're talking about cleaning the fireplace. When you clean out the ash, I actually worked with a guy that cleaned out his fireplace and hauled all the ashes out to his garage, like in the morning, took off for work.
Dun,
and,
dun, dun.
later that morning, they got a call from the fire department. His garage was on fire because of the ash that he had dumped in the trash can earlier that day or that night.
Love to hear that 911 call. And what was the source of the fire? Let's avoid that. It was me.
The trash can. Burning embers.
Exactly.
Well, so if somebody's buying a house, we know that that's a big deal. They need to get it inspected. Mm-hmm. They obviously have to get the house inspected. But if they do, they need to have it inspected by a pro. And that's what's really important, to have somebody like you come in, Wes. That, you know, I had three fireplaces, and I was really happy to have you come in and give me the thumbs up on them and let me know, you know, even the things that we did need to do. It just gave me peace of mind and, you know that my house isn't going to catch on fire from it. But it's something that we do have to pay attention to. And so somebody that's not even buying a house could use that home inspection.
Mm-hmm.
Pay you to come in and take a look at it, because you can look at, you know, more than just a fireplace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people shouldn't just let their, you know, neglect their house for so many years after they buy it.
Yeah, sure. If anybody out there listening wants to get a fireplace cleaning and inspection, give us a call, 314-952-7007.
You know, another thing too about the mortar, we were talking about getting things tuck pointed. You need to look real close at that. The fireplace sits on a separate foundation. And when something falls, it falls down and away. People think things sink, but they really don't. So you want to look at the brickwork as it lines up with the house. If it's real wide at the top and not at the bottom, you know that thing's falling down and away.
You get a triangular-looking joint or crack going up the side of the chimney. Yep.
And that's a big deal. That can affect your roof. That can affect everything. So we have a couple of them that we're doing right now in Crestwood. It seemed like there's a certain neighborhood that's having chronic issues with that. And the drought's also accelerated a lot of this.
Sure. When you have a chimney that is settling or moving like that, Stephen, can you put a couple piers underneath it and stabilize it and bring it back up?
What's really important, part of what you just said was right, and part of people think that they want things raised. And the thing about piering and raising is that if I raise it and I have the ability, the rest of it's not sitting on anything. And I had to have an engineer wake me up to that about 10 years ago. So that's why you should never be locked in. And as Doug always says, you have truths that for some reason we give them some substance and we shouldn't. If I pick the fireplace up, I better be pouring a brand new full foundation underneath the whole thing. And so now you're in a world that doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
So just a couple of piers to stop it and hold it, and then you can fix the joints and the cracks.
That's exactly right, because it sets out farther. And a lot of times there'll be two on the fireplace and then two adjacent to it.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's not real expensive, and it sure saved the house.
Well, gentlemen, I appreciate you both coming in. If you have a foundation issue, definitely call Stephen Burton from Waterproof Solutions. He's the pro. And for any type of inspection, all different areas of the house, you have to contact Wes Vilhard from Housemaster. And, Wes, I'm going to make sure all the contact information is on the website. Anybody goes to DougHaldeman.com, they can contact either one of you guys. Really appreciate you guys taking the time to come in today.
It's our pleasure.
Thanks, Doug.
Wes is also, besides being a structural engineer, he's also ashy, and ashy is a very big deal in this town.
That is a big deal. Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't want to gloss over the fact that you're ashy certified.
Thanks. Yeah, I was just recently elected secretary, so now I'm on the board at ashy too.
Wow.
So how about that?
Oh man, now my inbox is going to get it.
All right, guys. Well, thank you very much for coming in.
Oh, my pleasure.
Has your loan originator committed malpractice by not asking you the right questions? Coming up, learn the five crucial questions in choosing the right loan for you. You'll listen to the Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.